We have some priority issues that are up front, and I put this transparency up, and I'll just take you through it again. Three eras. Tomorrow night I'm going to do the same thing, and in approaching this point in terms of taking off and the three target audiences that God has given us. But I'm going to just frame in a couple more things to save us some time tomorrow night. When Dawson Trotman started ministering to the military, what happened was that we went through a period of sustained growth until about 1950. And there was four points of focus that I can find in Navigator history, and I'll spend more time on that tomorrow night. But one is that Navigators had a passion for the lost. They had a commitment to a multiplying ministry. They were always, although we've named it different things over the years, really two outcomes, laborers and leaders, a passion for the nation and the nations. Now, in America, as I've said to others, we blended that, the nation and the nations. But as you move around the world, Navigators have a heart for the nation as well. Then in 1950 to 1960, what happened is we broadened as a work. And as you saw, we've started to partner with Billy Graham. We started to do a number of things, but we stagnated in the grassroots. And a lot of that was because some of these people were coming back and were ministering inside organizations and churches rather than focusing on the lost. It was Leroy Imes who came back, well, actually started the ministry, I think, at the University of Nebraska in 1958. And opened our student work, and then Lauren Sandy asked him to come back in 1960, and it was the launching of the student work. Same issues, passion for the lost, commitment to a multiplying ministry, two outcomes, laborers and leaders, passion for the nation and the nations. And there's a picture that we have of this room in 1965 with scaffolding. Some of you have seen it. The old, the first wingding we had, that went people sitting all the way to the ceiling. Lauren Sandy sharing 1 Corinthians 15:58, and that was the first time he had shared that message. Of course, he shared it many other times since then. But that led us to a sustained period of growth. And then sometime in the early 80s, actually it would be 83, somewhere in there, we started to see the same thing happen, students leaving the ministry, going into the churches, doing a lot of discipling. Same thing with our military ministry, other things where we lost our passion for the lost in some respects. But this was a lot different in here, as I mentioned to you last night, because the culture was shifting. There was a lot of things going on here. We were having to relearn how we do almost everything that we have done historically. Now, I'm saying that I believe, and tomorrow night I'm going to go into Isaiah 49 and some of Isaiah 60, 22 and 61. I believe God is saying to us, if you will step out by faith, and if you will go up, I'm going to send you through another sustained period of fruitfulness. And that I've been training your hands for battle over these years and preparing you to do this task. And tomorrow night, again, I'll go into that in a much, much deeper way. But I just wanted to keep that framework in front of you. Now, what we've been saying to ourselves, though, is that we really believe that God is saying two things to us. He's saying, Navigators, I want to use you. I want you to touch the nation. We want you to touch the body of Christ. There's an exciting mission out there in terms of how to connect with lost people. There's an exciting mission out there in terms of how to go to three target audiences that I've given you and how to link up and accomplish things that you've never dreamed of. Now, but he's also saying something else, and that's why we're dealing with what we did last night and tonight, and that is he's saying, but there are some issues. And this time, you're at a crossroads. This time, you're at a point where you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. You've been in business for 60-some years. In the first two rounds, it was more a matter of repositioning you and mobilizing you, or positioning and then repositioning. This time, there are some inherent things in the community that we need to talk about. And one of them last night was brokenness. Now, I'm suggesting to you that the second one is integrity. Now, last leader retreat, we also had Jerry White speak on integrity. So, why would we do it again? Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? It really doesn't to me either in many ways. But as I prayed over it, and as I mentioned to you, in terms of coming into this new responsibility, I always ask God in any responsibility, what is it? What's the trumpet sound? Where do you want this thing to go? And I just had an overwhelming sense that this was an issue. And I remember Dave and I talking about this retreat, and Dave said, well, what do you need to talk about? And I said, I think we need to set the stage for where God is leading us. And I really believe that brokenness is an important issue, and we've got to talk about that. But I said, interestingly enough, I think we've got to go after this issue of integrity. And we talked about it and decided, well, maybe we do. Now, every leader retreat we've had so far, we've had a group of people praying for us. And in those leader retreats, that group, different people praying, have come back to me and they've said, we have to deal with integrity issues. Navigators have to deal with integrity issues. I go out and I spend time with our staff in the field, and in one way or another, they say to me, we have integrity issues. They don't always say integrity, but if you boil it down, that's what they're saying. You move through our headquarters building and our admin building, and you begin to ask people, what do you think we need to deal with? And they will tell you, over and over again, in one way or another, we have integrity issues. Now, if you recall last night, I said to you, one of the things I learned in Canada in leading that work is that when you hear staff saying the same thing over and over again, they may not understand the real issues. But intuitively, staff know when something's wrong. That they just know. And so they may attack an issue over here and be completely wrong, but they may just have a feel for the fact that there needs to be something dealt with. And so when you hear it over and over and over again, you begin to say to yourself, well, God's saying something to us. Now, as I said last night, when I talk about these things, I am not talking from the perspective of, I've got this thing figured out. Because I don't. In fact, I'm going to be telling you about some deep, deep integrity issues that I've had to deal with in my own life. And some things that God showed me in my life that I never dreamed I needed to be shown. And so as I look at you and as I speak to you tonight, I'm talking about us, a group of leaders. And we're talking about what is God saying to us. And somebody has to articulate the issue. And then we just sit down and work it out together. And so I may say some things that are completely wrong. I may miss it. And you may want to come back to me and say, well, hey, we need to talk about that. But at least I don't want to have to stand before God as one who is leading. And He is speaking. And we ignore the issue and just say, no, that's not a problem. I was out with a person a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this issue of integrity. And you run into a problem when you start talking about integrity because everybody has a little different view of what integrity is. And so we were talking about the retreat, and I said we were going to be talking about integrity, and the person said to me, well, what do you mean by integrity? And I shared a number of things that I was concerned about. And the person said to me, he said, well, I think the navigators have some integrity issues. And I thought, now that's interesting. And then that person started to share with me what those issues were. And as I listened, I got a little more defensive and a little more defensive. And I thought, well, he just doesn't understand, you know, how we think. Well, that's not an integrity issue at all. Surely he sees why it has to be that way. And then all of a sudden I thought, ooh, that's the problem right there. And I caught it and I went back to my room that night and prayed over those issues and said, well, Lord, I don't know. Maybe those are real integrity issues and maybe we've got to address them. So when we're talking about integrity, we really have a problem. And you're really talking about ethics here. And as you talk about ethics, you also talk about values. And as you talk about values, some of those are deeply held, but some are far more important than others. And people see things differently, and they can look at the scriptures. And they can see things very, very differently. And so we have to be careful as we move through this process to figure out a way to move through the tulip path and ask ourselves the right questions and ask them with integrity, and at the same time be sensitive to the fact that, hey, we can have some differing views on things. For example, lifestyle. There are a lot of people who would look at some of our staff and say, well, you have a lifestyle problem. Others would look at it and say, well, you're just narrow. You just don't understand ministry and how God uses people. All of those things become issues. Let's look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This is what Warren Wiersbe calls the best statement on integrity in the New Testament. I have another book for you. How many of you read this book? Have a lot of you read this book? By the way, I found out last night the book's out of print, so I understand that. Too bad. This one was written in the late 80s by Warren Wiersbe just after the PTL crash. And there's some fascinating things that he says in here. And believe me, if you read it, you'll go through it and you'll do the same thing that I've done. And you'll say, well, I don't believe that. And then you have to think about it and pray about it. But in Matthew 6:19, he says, Jesus is speaking, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Now, I think that is very, very critical. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Anybody here struggling with pornography? We've had a number of moral failures lately. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. That's a devastating statement, isn't it? If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. In this case, dealing with the issue of wealth. Well, I'm going to leave that passage there. The question is what is integrity? And Wiersbe says some very interesting things before he lists that section of Scripture. He says, in order to understand integrity, we must first realize that two forces are at work in the world. One, God is putting things together. And two, sin is tearing things apart. God wants to make integers. Satan wants to make fractions. I think that's a good statement. God's purpose is to gather together in one all things in Christ. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. God's program will finally succeed, and his universe will one day become one glorious integer. And then he says, what is integrity? The Oxford English Dictionary says that the word comes from the Latin word integris, which means wholeness, entireness, completeness. The root word is integer, which means untouched, intact, entire. Integrity is to personal or corporate character what health is to the body or 20/20 vision is to the eye. People with integrity have nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Their lives are an open book. They are integers. Interesting statement. So what are we really talking about when we're talking about integrity? Are we talking about perfection? No. I mean, Jesus wants us to strive for perfection. That's clear. But the question is how do you talk about the issue of integrity without putting us under the law? As I said to you last night, we're talking about the issue of wholeness, things working together. And personally, I think that when we're talking about integrity, one thing is we're talking about integrity with our relationship with God, or our relationship with others, and that we as people are completely wide open before the Lord and before our brothers and sisters. We've got nothing to hide. If I have a problem, I'm open to telling you. Now, I might use discretion in who I tell for the sake of people, but that's because I think of what is best for them, not what is best for me in terms of protecting myself. There's a complete freedom. There's a vulnerability with a person of integrity. They have the ability to open their lives. Wiersbe goes on to say that the opposite of integrity is, first of all, hypocrisy, which has to do with the idea of being something to others that you're not, kind of masquerading. And then he says the second step is duplicity, where we actually begin to lie to ourselves. And then thirdly, we finally make God a liar. And if you recall last night when I read to you from Malachi, here are people living in absolute pagan idolatry and are asking the question, well, when did we do anything? And they're turning to God and basically saying, what's the matter with you? We're doing fine. And here you are accusing us. Now, the same thing happens in Jeremiah. It's amazing how we can deceive ourselves. It is incredible how we can deceive ourselves. When I was struggling with the whole issue with my daughter, and we were into all of these counseling sessions and everything, I discovered something that absolutely threw me for a loop until I finally started to understand it and got into scriptures and started to grasp it. But human beings have an incredible ability to divide inside of themselves. We have the capacity to split off parts of ourselves and actually act. And in some cases, in very extreme instances, not even being other parts of ourselves be in touch with what we're doing. Now that is really, really extreme, but it can actually happen. But what the Bible describes is the word diakrino. In James, it's the word doubt or waverer. And krino is the word for judgment, and diakrino, divided judgment. And the Hebrew word that is translated in the Septuagint translated diakrino in the Septuagint is the word that is used for the divided kingdom of the Antichrist. And what diakrino is saying is that we can be inwardly divided very much like that. It took me a long time to understand that. But why is it, for example, that a businessman, you can go work with a businessman. I'm using a businessman just because I've done this before and I've seen it happen, and I could give other instances, but we'll use this. But you go to church, and perhaps he or if it's a businesswoman, can teach Sunday school and do a magnificent job. Sing in the choir, study the Word, pray with you, demonstrate an outward joy in the Lord, go right to work, and lie, cheat, and steal all week. And if you confront them, they'll say, you don't understand business. Compartmentalize lives. Now, I would suggest to you that navigators can do the same thing. Navigators can live the same way. But because of the way we grow, it's incredibly difficult for us to admit it. And so we can turn around and live in denial the same way. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're doing it. I'm just suggesting to you that the possibility is there. I have sat in rooms dealing with my daughter, and I have watched people living that kind of life and watched the dynamics of it. And one of the marks of that kind of a person is unbelievable defensiveness. And as you see that kind of inward dividedness going on, it is really scary. And sometimes I listen to us talk and I think, whoa, this is scary in terms of our own defensiveness. Now, I haven't seen the kinds of behaviors that I've seen in those situations that I saw with my daughter. Don't misread me. I'm just suggesting to you that there are mental dynamics that go on in the mind that allow us to live in different worlds at different times. It's not that we're not aware of it. It's just that we develop different values for different contexts. And we can be living in sin and be justifying it because we don't have the kind of accountability or openness or freedom. And you can build a life where you're actually thinking that you're doing great, when in reality, there are portions of ourselves that are living in a world that are just not honoring to God. Now, let me ask you this question. Why is it that all of us love Lorne Sanney so much? There's probably not a person in here that if I said, who do you respect the most in the Navigators? I'll bet 80 or 90% of us would raise our hand and say, Lorne Sanney. Now, I've had a lot of intimate personal times with Lorne Sanney. He's not perfect. I can tell you for sure he's not perfect. In fact, I've seen him do some things that I wish he hadn't done it, or hadn't done. But I have unbelievable respect for him. Why? Because he's an integrated man. He's a man that when he's here, he's Lorne Sanney. When he's over here, he's Lorne Sanney. And what you see is what you get. And he's a man who has a deep, deep love for God. Somehow, when you see a person who is integrated, you love them. You just feel so good around them. But when you see a person who is kind of masquerading or living a little bit of an edge of a different kind of life, somehow you can pick it up. You don't know quite what you're dealing with, but you know something's wrong. And it's a problem, because most often it's a problem of integrity. When you look at a computer and you say a computer has integrity, what do you mean? You mean that all the parts are flowing. Now, you can have awful software on that computer, but it works. And what I'm suggesting to you is that we can be people who are dealing with difficult things, but we can have it all out there in the light, where everybody can look at it, and we can be talking about it, facing it, dealing with it, and honestly dealing with those that we help to grow in the Lord, and that they help us to grow in the Lord, and it's just a free, open exchange of the transformation of our lives where the grace of God has touched us and we're living in grace here and we can honestly say, you know, God needs to help me in that area. And that person can come alongside of us and help us. It's the hidden stuff that's dangerous. It's the stuff we don't talk about because that's the stuff that divides us internally. And that's the stuff that gets pressed down. And it can create incredible behavior in our lives. But if you get it into the light, send your light and your truth and let them guide me to your holy mount. As we bring our lives into the light and as we're open and honest about it, it frees us up and we're no longer bound. We leave room for the enemy. Now, I'd like to list a few areas tonight that we need to talk about in the Navigator work. First of all, integrity in our personal lives. Matthew 23, 2 and 3. The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. They have set themselves up as leaders. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. Now, when the issue of integrity has an awful lot to do with what grace does in my own life. My relationship with God comes, the grace of God comes into my life, and then I receive grace and I give grace out of my life. And I'm honest about where grace is not touched. The tragedy is when I have not received grace in an area and I begin to ask someone to do what I've not received. That can be legalism, it can be hypocrisy, it can be a lack of integrity. And so when we talk about our personal lives, we talk about a number of things. What about our walk with God? Dispensers of grace in our walk with God. Now we can help people one of two ways. We can get a system, get it real clear, and everybody should do it. The only problem is we're not doing it. But because we know it might be good for them, we tell them to do it anyway. But we have not received grace in that area of our life. And so we talk about things that are not a reality in our lives. That's a tough area. And what we begin to do is we begin to project something that we're not. And we begin to perform outwardly in light of something that is not an inward reality. I meet regularly with Warren Myers. Warren Myers is probably the most disciplined man I know on the face of the earth. And when you know Warren, Warren can put a lot of pressure on you in terms of your personal life. You go pray with Warren, and I guarantee you, you'll pray around the whole world. And one of the things I like to do is go pray with Warren so I can find out about the whole world. But the interesting thing is, you know, I don't mind what Warren says to me. It doesn't bother me at all. When Warren says to me, Alan, how's your prayer life? No problem. Well, Warren, I'm struggling. Warren says, well, Alan, how in the world are you going to lead unless you get going in your prayer life? And I think, yeah, Warren, you're right. How's your Bible study? Well, I'm slipping a little bit. Well, Alan, we're leaders around here. We need to lead out. Last time I got out of the car, or Warren got out of my car as I was driving away, Warren says, now, that Bible study in Ephesians, we'll be doing that the next time, won't we? I drove away, and I thought, boy, I sure am glad he did that. I sure am glad that he's got me focused on what I need to be about. But, you know, if someone else said that to me, I'd probably be very upset. What's the difference? What he tells me to do, he does. Doug Sparks is one of my closest friends. And from time to time, I'll sit down and I'll begin to download some of my problems because I really unload with Doug. And every now and then, Doug gets that stern look on his face, and he begins to look at me and just verbally thrash me for what I'm thinking. Now, why would I take that from Doug and maybe struggle with it from others? Because I know that Doug does exactly what he's telling me to do. And I know he has integrity in his personal walk with God. People will receive it if what we're sharing, we're doing. Even if it's more than they can do, they will receive it. Because believe me, Warren's doing far more than I can do. So we need to think about our personal lives and what we ask people to do as leaders. And we need to think about the issue of our own personal integrity. The issue of purity of life. As I mentioned in the Navigator work, we've had a lot of moral failures lately. Now, I don't mean that it's an epidemic. In fact, we've been protected from this for many, many years. But we've had more than we usually have. And it's enough to tell us that something's going on here. And what it makes me ask a question, what are we really doing in our private lives? Now, there's not one of us here in this room, if we were meeting with someone and ministering to them, that we wouldn't call them out the purity of life. But are we honest enough to talk about where we struggle? Now, I'm not going to go into the details, but I tell you, it wasn't an overwhelming failure in my life. It was something that people struggle with in their life. Lots of people struggle with it. But when I started going through my struggles with my daughter, I had some points over about 15 years. I had three instances of situations where there had been an issue that had really affected me personally in terms of what I had seen. And I'm telling you the struggles that I had in terms of dealing with that was overwhelming. Just in my own struggles of trying to sort out, am I living a holy, pure life before God? And I had to come to grips with integrity. I had to deal with my own life, and I had to go sit down with people, and I had to say, now, here are the struggles in my life. Here's what I've dealt with, and here's what God has done to help me. And I don't want to state that. I don't want to go into detail on it because I just don't think it would be helpful here, but I want you to know it wasn't a serious issue. It was just something that was a struggle for me at that time. Another area, financial life. Let me ask you this. If someone came along with your personal finances and said, all right, now let's just move everything out into the light, would you feel okay about that? So that everybody could just look at what you're doing. How would you feel about it? Well, when I think about navigators, I think, now, we raise our income. We go to the body and we ask them to support us. And we tell them that we live by faith. And that we're just trusting God. But back here, we're kind of hedging our bets with our finances, protecting ourselves, but we don't tell anybody. It's not so bad that we're doing it, it's just that we're almost living in two worlds in how we're handling our finances. One, to make us secure. The other, but we're living by faith. Now, I don't want to put my finger on all of the issues, I'm just suggesting, can you take your financial situation and bring it right out into the open. Your personal financial situation. Bring it right out in the open and let people see it. I remember a couple years ago, I had some people saying to me, had some concerns about Navigator budgets. And I thought, well, I wonder how my donors would feel about my budget. And I thought, do I really want them to see my budget? I thought, well, I better go find out. So I picked out six donors, all of whom made less than I made. And I took my budget, the one that I get from headquarters, and I just took it and I put it right in front of them. I said, now that's my budget. How do you feel about it? You support me. How do you feel about it? Really interesting. As they looked at it, you know what they said to me? Five of them said to me, you should make more. One of them said, well, I have a question about a couple things. Now, the interesting thing is, what that helped me do is live with complete integrity with my budget. Never worried about it again. Because I answered the question for myself. I know how my donors feel. I know if those people that I took that budget to can look at it and say, it's okay. It's okay. I know all the rest of them will accept it. Then there's another one here that you may or may not grasp, but I'm talking about emotional alignment. Living cognitively over here, emotionally over here, and they're not in contact. And living with things like anger. Living with struggles that go on sometimes in the home and with people, but being able to rationalize it over here, but living in a different world with your emotions. And that's part of this inward dividedness that God wants to bring together so that our emotions and our intellect live and function together in harmony in an integrated way. If any of you want to talk about that later on, I'll spend more time on that. Now let's talk a little bit about family integrity. Now, in the Navigator work, we used to be so task-oriented we've had some problems with our families. I'm one of them with my daughter. Now, when I was living in Canada, I was leading Vision 2000 Canada, and I was on video. You'd go to church, and there'd be a video, and I would be promoting Vision 2000 Canada. 100 Huntley Street, which is the equivalent of the 700 Club, ran some clips, and I was promoting Vision 2000 Canada, and I was calling the nation to repentance and humility. Doing lots of traveling. Smiling, blessing people, and calling them to repentance. And then I'd go home. And I was tired. And I had three daughters, and they were messy. And Becky didn't care as much as I did about how messy they were. So I would come home, and I'd come walking into the house. And the first day, things were great. Hi, everybody. Dad's home. It's wonderful. About the second day, things got real quiet around my house. Dad's angry. Late in the evening, when the family sat down, I would start out with, I have a problem around here. Now, we've got to get those rooms cleaned up. And before long, I was really angry. Now, you know what was going on with my daughters? 100 Huntley Street. Repentance. Humility. What's he talking about? He's an angry man. He's tired, angry. Part of the healing process in my family, in terms of not just Sandy, but all of my family, was I finally had to sit down in a broken way and say to my kids, I've really failed you. And I've lived out here, and then I've come home, and I haven't been the same person. And my anger has really, really hurt you. And will you forgive me? And you know what? All three of those little gals threw their arms around me and said, Dad, no big deal. And Dad, we've done worse. They were forgiving at that point, but they had to hear that Dad knew that there was an inconsistency. That's what I'm talking about. When it's back here and it's hidden and Dad is coming home, I'm okay, I'm great. I'm the leader of the Navigator work in Vision 2000 Canada, and surely you know that I'm a man of God. And you kids had better straighten up and get your act together. Now you can see the inconsistency in doing that. And what my children needed to hear was Dad knows he's wrong. And Dad knows before God that he's wrong, and he knows before us that he's wrong. Once it's in the light, hey, we're all struggling together. We're all growing together, and we're freed up. But dealing with issues of family integrity, kids and wives know when we're not living the same out here as we're living here. That's hypocrisy. And it's a lack of integrity. What about personal ministry integrity? Now, I don't know why. I'm probably talking to the choir here in terms of what I want to talk about here, but I still want to say it. And that has to do with the body of Christ giving us enough money to do our ministry. And we have a calling over here. This calling has to do with, you'll hear this again tomorrow night, a passion for the lost, a commitment to a multiplying ministry, two outcomes, laborers and leaders, a passion for the nation and the nations. And we tell them, both on the video that's up here, we tell them in our prayer letters, we tell them by everything that we say, that's what we're doing. But in some cases, I look at it and I say, I'm not sure that's what we're doing. Now, I'm not talking about doing the whole cycle. A person can be at the beginning stages. They can be a fourth of the way through it. But what I'm talking about is integrity of ministry when we're talking about a day's wage for a day's labor. And the accountability factor that comes in there in terms of ministry integrity, giving it all we've got. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, now, if we drift in that area, the question has to be, how do we come to the point of knowing that we're doing the very best before God that we can in terms of obeying God, walking with Him, trusting Him for the ministry, and our calling? Now, that's a really important area. And I really think that we are beginning to drift a little bit in that area. We need to think about it. Now, I'm going to get to a really tough area. This is the one that I got a little nervous on as the person was talking to me, corporate integrity. What we do corporately goes into the light. I'm going to do something with you tonight. I'm going to tell you something because I think I need to tell you. We have some questions in the Navigator work. Question of salaries for leaders. We've had a lot of people question whether we're operating with integrity with salaries with our leaders. Is it right to have a big gap and some leaders make a lot Some leaders make a little less, and then you have area reps. Now, is that fair? Now, as I put this in perspective, I want to say to you right now that I went to Jay, and I told Jay to set my salary at $73,000. That's where it's set. Now, I also want you to know that in my job, I have had to, let me back up. The board has set my salary higher if I want it. Now, that's a question. The question is how does it work? What should a leader make? But the interesting thing is, I've already found out in this job that I have to spend a lot of money to do things in my home because I have to do more entertaining than I've done in the past. My clothing budget has gone way, way up. So what I'm trying to figure out is, what's the balance? Now, I don't know what the balance is. But I just want you to know that that's where it is. I want you to know right now, every leader in this room, know what I make. That's what I did. Now, there are some leaders who make zero in the body of Christ. If you see it published, they don't make anything from the outfit they work for. But I'm telling you, I can't survive on that. So, thanks. The other thing is, I want you to know that that's where I set my salary, and I also want you to know that as far as I'm concerned, what the board has done is okay. Because I think there are good reasons for it, but I think it's an area that we need to dialogue on, and what I think we need to do is we need to come back here and pull it all out here into the light and just take a good look at it and ask the hard questions. And as long as we're committed to coming to an understanding, we'll be dealing with integrity. It doesn't mean that we'll do what you think we should do. It just means it's in the light and we've made a basic decision with integrity. Now, I want to cover another issue. Staff charges. The $40 charge. The one everybody hates. And the one that comes into my department that pays for the National Leadership Services of the NLT. Now, I have some questions about the $40 charge. And we're doing a review right now to figure out a whole refocusing project to sort it all out. All I want to say is that right now it doesn't cover all the costs. And we're still having to raise more money. And we have an 11-person team. And if you remember this morning I put it up there and you saw the rationale for it, I think we need it. Now my question is in the area of integrity, is we got to get it out into the light and we've got to talk about how much it costs to do business, how we pay for it, what's involved in it, all of those things. We need to deal with it. And all I want to say to you is in giving you a commitment to be as committed to integrity as I possibly can, I'm not saying to you that we're going to drop that $40 charge. What I'm saying to you is we're going to look at it. And in integrity, we're going to ask the question, can we, should we, what's right, and what would be a commitment to integrity in that area. All of our charges. Question is it just? Is it fair? Is it right? We're looking at every one of those. We're going right after it, asking the hard questions. How do we do it? What's fair, what's not. But again, I'm not saying that you're going to be charged less or charged more. I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is that we're going to create an environment where we can talk, interact, and come to an agreement and deal with it in the light so that we can say we have dealt with it with integrity. Another question in terms of corporate integrity that I have is the one I mentioned last night, and that is entity rivalry. Now, I've intentionally used the word rivalry. Because if we just say nice words out there, why, it's not going to help us a whole lot. But we need to talk about why we feel the way we feel about one another. But when entity rivalry reaches the point that from our entity we face the work with a smile, but when we go back and we discuss it, we don't say the same things privately that we say publicly. Now, that's a lack of integrity. And I wonder if we do those kinds of things, if the NLT goes back and sits down in a room and says things about people that it doesn't say to their face or to their entity, we've got a problem. Conversely, if it goes the other way, we have a problem. And I'm just suggesting that the key, again, is to get it into the light. Not necessarily to solve all of our problems, but to bring it all into the light and begin to deal with it. The other issues are turf wars. We're dealing with a refocusing project right now, and literally, if we're honest about it, potentially, it could affect some people's jobs. Because the truth is that we have more demand for services than we could possibly meet. And the other thing is, we have a lot of redundancy. We already know that. It's out there. It's on the table. But as we work our way through this to do what is right and what is done with integrity, that job is going to be much, 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 much more difficult if we protect ourselves. We have to do what God wants, not what I want, and not what is protecting me in the situation. Now, those are just some things that I list and put them down, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring it around and ask this question of us who are leaders. We are the ones who are charged with at least the next 5 years of leading the Navigator work, and that this generation, no matter how it comes together, this group is going to lead in one way or another, no matter how it's shaped, probably for the next 10 years with some additions coming through and some leaders leaving or retiring or whatever. So basically, it is this group, it is this generation that's going to lead the Navigators. Now, we know that this group gave us a heritage. And we know that when we got over here, that group gave us a heritage because we're here today. Now, the question will be, what will we do in terms of the future and how will we lead? Will we lead the work with integrity? Integrity of vision, integrity of calling, integrity in our families, and will we lead with everything in the light, or will we begin to drift? The Navigators have a reputation for integrity. Throughout our history, as you look back, I'm sure there have been many things that have lacked integrity. But as an overall picture, when people talk and think about the Navigators, they say, that outfit has integrity. Now, I don't know to what degree we lack integrity versus other generations. And I don't think that's the answer or the question we want to ask. I think what we want to ask is, have we brought everything into the light? And have we asked the right questions? And have we led with integrity? My question is, will we be a generation that will masquerade? And what that means is the idea of hypocrisy, or over in Romans 12, be not conformed, the word is masquerade. And the idea is, will we put on a mask and tell ourselves, as we face everyone, this is the way it is. But behind the mask, we know that it's different. When we tell people about our ministry, when we tell people in terms of what we're doing, are we projecting exactly who we are with honesty and integrity in the light? And I'm suggesting to us that if we go into this ministry with a sense of projecting what is not really there, we'll be the last generation to lead this work in the Navigators as we know it today. And so I think we really need to think about these issues. I'm not suggesting to you, I'm just throwing out the issues. I'm not suggesting to you for a minute that these are all problems for all of us. I'm not even suggesting that perhaps people here have none of these problems. But I know that in my own life, I have been a person who thought I was moving ahead, doing well in the ministry, leading well, and God had to come to me, and God had to send me through some very, very tough experiences in order to show me that really, back here, there were some hidden things. And I had to push those things out into the light. And when I was out into the light, I was free. And the amazing thing is, I found through the ordeal with my daughter, I found that God pushed me so far into the light and had to expose everything in the light that it felt so good I never wanted to go back. And I just made the decision, hey, I really don't care what people think. I've got nothing to protect. And I'm free. And God did that, and I couldn't stand here tonight and talk about this with conviction if God hadn't done that. If I had told you this 10 years ago, if I had stood up and shared this message with you 10 years ago, I would have been masquerading. And probably wouldn't have known it. But tonight, I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, within my own heart, there is nothing that I know of that I fear telling you. What do you want to know? Now, 3 years from now, if I drift, a year from now, if we don't lead with integrity, I may be back here. I don't know. But I'm just suggesting to you that this is a great time to talk about this for me. So, now I hope you take this in the spirit that I bring it to you. I'm not trying to talk down to us. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty. I'm not trying to hurt us. I'm not trying to push the envelope so much that we will walk out of here and feel off. I honestly don't know where we are. And honestly, as I sit here, as far as I know, every person in this room is living with integrity. I don't have anything in mind. All I know is that God is leading us to put some of these hard issues on the table, and also know that it's been hard for us to talk about some of these things. And it's been hard for us to get some of these issues out. And there are others. There are others that we all know about that we'd like to talk about probably. And I just suggest, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it and get it out into the open if you have some big concerns. And we'll talk about it. But I want to say one thing to you. Just because we talk about it and just because you have strong opinions doesn't mean, integrity does not mean that we have to do what you think just because you have strong opinions. Integrity means we get it out in the open, and corporately we figure out what God wants us to do. And you know, we may end up doing some things that you don't like at all. And if that happens, what we're going to ask you to do is let us lead. And that's the best we can do with integrity.